Did you hear the story? Did you hear the story of the Ethiopian eunuch? That man without a name? The man who is labeled in this story only by his unacceptability? He's too foreign, too black, too gay. Let me tell you a story of a well-educated man who is a dignitary, a court official. He's in charge of the queen's entire treasury. This is a story of a man concerned with finances, with trade and politics. This is a man who could read, who could likely read Aramaic and Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is not your everyday run-of-the-mill Ethiopian eunuch. We know he can read. Philip arrives when he is reading from Isaiah. This also means that this is the story of a man who procured a copy of the Isaiah scroll. There cannot have been many of them. They certainly weren't sold at Better World Books. This is a story of an educated foreign person who undertook a dangerous, laborious, and likely very inconvenient journey lasting months from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. This was not a business trip. This is a story of a man who took a pilgrimage of some 2,000 miles. This man and his entourage, we learn from Nancy Taylor, likely began heading north by following the White Nile and then the Blue Nile. They passed through the trade city of Khartoum, and then they bore the winds and the sands of the Nubian desert, picking up the Great Nile and following it to its source. Then, last but by no means least, they negotiated the great wilderness of the Sinai Peninsula before finally arriving, sunburnt, dusty, and weary at their destination, Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, this is the story of a man who has chosen the Jewish people to be his people. This man has read the book of Isaiah, and he has likely read this from chapter 56. For this is what the Lord said, "To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and be his servants, who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for the nations." And so he came to worship at the temple where he was going to be welcome. And though the text doesn't say it, many would say that this is a story of a man who is turned away at the temple. Turned away because his arrival of status as a eunuch would indicate that he was ritually unpure, no matter what the prophet Isaiah said. He was not able to worship in the temple. Despite his choosing the Jewish people, it is doubtful that they chose him. This is a story of someone who, through great personal expense and trial, is rejected by the people he has chosen as his own. Here, on the road, we encounter an outsider, a person who tells us about being rejected, about multiple forms of oppression. Here is a person, though, who, after he faces rejection, goes into the wilderness. Now we can know that this road that he was traveling on in the text was a fairly well-traveled road. So wilderness is code for something. Perhaps it's code for the liminal space where God is met, like the wilderness where Jesus goes. So this is a story of a person who has been rejected, who goes back to the text and reads from Isaiah 53, like a sheep. He was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? for his life was taken away from the earth. This is a person who finds himself doubly in the text. And this is a story of a person who meets another person who tells him the gospel. And then there in the wilderness, he learns the story of God's great arc of justice. The story of a God who is author of this great project in diversity, of hospitality, in welcome and kindness, in equality and unity. Here we have an outsider who, even in the midst of rejection, finds this story of God to be so compelling that he wants to be a part. It's so compelling that even if he doesn't fully understand it, he asks to be dipped in the water and baptized. This is a story of bravery, to join a community that causes pain, that sometimes says you are not welcome. This is a story of a person who encounters the Spirit and believes and knows in his soul of the love. This is the story of the church being spread to unlikely people, of the wind of the Spirit so powerful that her servants are caught and moved into each other's way. So how then do you connect with this story? This story of a man of means, this story of a man who is rejected, who is triply an outsider. How do you connect to the story of the one who insists that this is his community and who bravely jumps into the waters of baptism? How are you open to the winds of the Spirit moving in your life? Let me tell you another story. This is a story about Philip, who was a man who was one of the seven appointed to feed the Greek widows, a man who was traveling and evangelizing, and at the beginning of chapter 8 in Acts, was being attacked and hunted by Saul, who had not yet had his conversion experience. Philip was not only one of a group that was being hunted, he had just witnessed one of his friends, Stephen, being stoned and killed. After this devastating loss, that group had been separated, and Philip went to Samaria, a place of outsiders. We might remember the Samaritan woman, the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan who is the trope for the outsider. This is where Philip goes. And there he is a very effective preacher. But we don't know what he says. We just know that he's able to connect with those in Samaria. He's able to connect with those who are different from him. So this is a story of a man who regularly trusted and practiced and believed that those who were different from him were of value, are worthy of being part of this community. He practiced this connecting every day. And in the middle of his success, he was interrupted by two apostles. Peter and John, they hear about the conversions and they come to Samaria so they can bring the gift of the Holy Spirit to the people there. And then they leave. And Philip goes back to his work, but he gets interrupted again. And this is the story of a man, Philip, who's given an order by God to go leave his successful mission and go to a wilderness road. This is a story of Philip who has much practice listening and goes. And on the road, he meets the most unlikely of people. And because he has practice in listening to others, and because he has practice seeing the other as fully human, and because he has practice with seeing those as worthy of the Spirit of God, he doesn't question what he would be instructed to do in this place with this man. This is a story of someone who knows how to listen, who understands that in sharing of stories, truth comes to be known. This is a story of a person who, Nell Morton says, listens the other into speech. Here Philip listens and understands what this man is saying. He understands his pain, and he shares that the embodied way of Jesus is about diversity and hospitality, about welcome and kindness, in unity and equality. And Philip understands that the presence of the Spirit allows him to listen and to connect, even with someone who is very different from him. So how do you connect with this story? This story of a man who listens to the divine call to be open and to live into the practice of diversity and hospitality. How do you practice seeing the other as fully human? How do you practice seeing the other as someone who you cannot own? What are the ways that you live in God's call to respect and love so you are ready when the Spirit calls, so you are ready to hear and respond? Let me tell you another story. This is a story about the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit, after all, that begins and ends this story. It is the Holy Spirit, not the Philip or the eunuch, that is the protagonist, the hero in this story. It begins with the Holy Spirit instructing Philip, get off the road that you are on. God interrupts this already successful evangelistic campaign in Samaria and says, leave, go, take this lonely desert road through the wilderness from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the Holy Spirit with no polite invitations. He just instructs Philip to go, do something, meet a guy. Here she says, go into the wilderness. It is she who is the author of this great project of diversity and hospitality. She is the author of welcome and kindness, equality and unity. Here we see a story that continues the story of Jesus. Continues the story of Jesus who practices and demonstrates welcome and respect, care for widows and children and orphans. Jesus didn't convince those disciples through rational, reasoned conversation. Jesus practiced that welcome. This is a story of God's wide welcome. This is a story of meeting the other, meeting God. This is a story of listening, listening to the other, of listening to God. So in this story, how do you connect? How do you connect to this story of the Spirit that moves in the wilderness? The story of the Spirit that calls us to practice hospitality and diversity. Where do you find the wilderness road and meet those who are different from you? How do you allow your life to be disrupted by the Spirit? She whose voice we hear in the desert. She who is present in the most unlikely of places and people. How do you see the Spirit working in the world, in places where oppression keeps people out, where racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia are the order of the day, where these things disrupt change? Where does the Spirit move? How do we stop? How do we stop oppression from stopping change to happen? How do we let the Spirit get through to us? This is a story where, above all, we are invited to meet God. To meet the Spirit in those thin places, in those places where the gulf between heaven and earth narrows, in the wilderness, in our listening, in the other, in our own privilege, in our own oppression. These are the places where we can see God's presence. These thin places are inherently unpredictable. but we can aid in their creation. Like Philip and the unnamed Ethiopian, we can run. We can run and join in what the Spirit is already making possible.